Hey everybody, it's Jen with Java and Genuflections, back for another episode in the series about gardening. I'm a fanatical gardener. I love it. My 2023 garden, personal garden, was 500 square feet. So 500 square feet, no-till, the majority vertically grown gardening. And since I realized, you know what, I should probably do what I do best, which is gardening. So, and that was my most popular podcast of so far. So it seems like people like to hear about gardening. You can, and I hope that you will go check me out over on Instagram, Bubbies_Victory_Gardens. The picture is me in a sun hat with my bright red space buns. Gardening Bubby who wants to feed the world is me. And you can see several, oh my gosh, a couple different years of gardening, including some of the community gardens that I've designed. But I am, you know, I have done gardens, like I said, that had really good budgets, and I really didn't have to worry a tremendous amount about budget. My garden is done. I call it found object gardening. I garden with garbage. There's just no two ways about it. And as surprising as it may be to some of you guys, it is time to start planning your garden. Like I said, about the time these podcasts come out, I'm going to have some free downloadable that you can print off that can get you started on your garden. And I'll follow that up with some binders and different things that you can purchase based on where you're at in, I don't know, your gardening journey. I hate calling things journeys, but here we are, gardening escapades, whatever you want to call it, your lifetime of gardening. I'm 51. I've been gardening for, gosh, on my own for 25 years and with my grandparents for 45 years. I mean, Baruch Hashem, they have passed, but so I have a lot of gardening experience under my belt, and I've worked with a lot of master gardeners. I have not gotten my master gardener yet, but worked with a lot of master gardeners, and I don't know, this is just something that I am very passionate about because people should know how to feed themselves, and the pandemic really brought to light the fact that, you know, we have homesteaders and we have people who can't garden at all. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not a homesteader, but I can feed my family even in terrible soil, which is what we had in 22 and part of 23. So that, those are things that I'm good at. So we need to get you guys thinking about your 2024 gardening, and this will be a refresher for some of you who have been gardening for ages. Maybe just fun to listen to somebody talk about gardening so that you can either agree with me or disagree with me or leave some ideas in the comments. Also, I think it's going to be hopefully a great place for gardeners who are just starting out, is what people that I would like to help for sure. Is those of you who are just starting out on a budget. When I encourage you to go to Instagram, to go to Pinterest, to go to Facebook, and look at different kinds of gardens. And absolutely, you know, make your, what is that, a board? Look at, you know, create your dream garden in your mind. And then roll that way, way back. It takes, you know, this 2023 was the first time that I can say I created my own personal dream garden. I have built gardens for other people that honestly just really knocked my socks off. And I mean, I know that doesn't sound very humble, but I mean, I have designed some phenomenal gardens, none of which were for myself until the last 2 years, 2022, 2023. may have had their issues, but there were good gardens. And 2023 was especially pretty garden because they did lights and whatnot. So why am I talking to you about 2024 garden in 2023? Because it takes that long to plan a garden. And no, I am not kidding. I need you to get on Instagram, get on those sites, like I said, take a look at kind of what you want to do. Then once you've, you know, done your little bit of dreaming, think about the practicality of what your space, how much space do you actually have? What kind of soil do you have? What physical, financial resources do you have? You know, take a look around and, you know, do I want to do raised beds? I mean, and I know everybody talks about raised beds being, they're typically 6 to 8 inches deep. You can grow with significantly less soil than that, but they're framed out, you know, in wood. Me personally, I just do a bed. I've never framed out a bed before. I've designed beds that were framed out for sure, but you know, that has never fit into my budget because the number one thing that you need to invest in is soil. Absolutely, the most important thing that you can invest in is soil. So go outside, take a look at the space, and think about what it is that you want to grow. There's seed catalogs are actually, I'm actually already getting emails and text messages from Gurney's. Best seeds that there are. I love Gurney's seeds. And it's fun to, you know, start looking through the catalogs. But if you've ever wondered why seed catalogs come out in the early winter time, it's because we gardeners are already buying their seeds and getting ready to start their seedlings indoors under grow lights. And seeds actually do, you know, sell out, especially, you know, things like honey nut, you know, the small variety butternut squash. And, you know, there's just different varieties that sell out soon, you know, faster than others. And there can be, you know, if I order some seeds right now, they might not be ready to ship to me until February, which is when I need to have those seeds germinating and getting going. Because if you are going to start your seeds indoors, depending on the plant, some of those you're going to want to get started in February, especially if you're going to grow Brussels sprouts from seeds, which is a nightmare, not my favorite. There's just quite a few things you have to start really early. If you want to grow petunias from seed, you got to plant them now because they take 12 full weeks to grow. It is shocking how long some of these things take to grow. So take, you know, sit down, think about what it is. How much experience do you have? What kind of things do you want to grow? And really just daydream a little bit. Then it's time to get down to it and start to actually plan your garden. So what is your garden goal? Why are you growing and what are you growing? Some people like to grow a salsa garden, and so they will grow a paste, or not a paste tomato, but sometimes a paste tomato, but, you know, a little bit more flavorful tomatoes, not quite so watery tomatoes. They will grow onions, garlic. I would not recommend growing cilantro. You can buy it fairly cheap. And the various different kinds of peppers, you know, they'll put in some bell peppers, maybe even some hotter peppers. You know, I don't know if you want to do like just some jalapenos. If you want to do there are actually varieties of jalapenos that are available that have no heat. So that's why I say, you know, now is the time to look at, you know, why am I growing this garden? What do I want to grow in this garden? Can I start to get the seeds that I need now? If you're a seed saver like I am, start going through your seed collection and look and see what you have, the conditions of the, you know, check the condition of the seeds that you have now. Did they, it looks like they, you know, were properly preserved, you know, get rid of the ones that are moldy, and then start looking at your resources for free seeds, because seed exchanges are going to be starting really soon. You can get seeds from some public libraries. I know the Omaha Public Library has a seed catalog. You just need a library card to be able to get seeds. I donate seeds to the seed library seed catalog. So you have to start thinking about what it is that I want to grow. Why do I want to grow it? Am I going to eat it? How much do I need to grow? And start putting pencil to paper. And it has to be pencil because it's going to be erased and started over and over again. But get out into that space. Measure it out. I like to use, my husband is a trucker and he has these little orange cones. They're not exactly traffic cones, but I get out there and I visualize my space by, you know, I put these bright orange cones down so I can see, okay, I want a 4 foot wide path up the middle and I'm going to put trellises over the top. I need my beds to be 3 feet wide by, I think I did 8 to 10 feet long. So, you know, I actually marked these out. Each bed had 4 cones so I could see, okay, this is what it looks like. Because putting it on paper is one thing, but you really have to get out into your space. And yes, I know it is cold and you may not be putting the cones down right now, but it is time to get moving. And you're going to think about what it is that you want to grow. So I, like I said, I will have, you know, at least one printable available and some resources, you know, coming soon that, you can purchase for, you know, a small fee, binders and whatnot. So now what are your next steps? My, you know, if I were starting out with a brand new garden or as a brand new gardener, I think the first thing that I would do is get outside and start preparing that soil in the winter, because you want to have hopefully snow. Snow is fantastic for gardeners. And especially the longer that snow can sit and like melt slowly into the ground is amazing for the soil. But you need to get outside and put down a layer of like paper, thin cardboard, something along those lines in your garden bed. Okay. Line it out with, you know, a thin cardboard or the lawn and leaf bags, that kind of paper. Get those because you're going to need some leaves. Go ahead and, you know, tear apart a lawn and leaf bag, lay that out. I personally don't rake my yard because leaves are just chunky soil. They will break down. There's no need to bag them up and send them off to the landfill where they are going to, you know, hurt the planet. You need those for your garden. Get some, you know, grass clippings, just anything like that. It obviously it's a little bit late because most people have their leaves gone and their grass clippings gone. If you happened to hang on to any of those things, get those laid down. You can find, you know, the paper, like I said, in the lawn and leaf bags. You can go get some thin cardboard packaging, you know, places like Lowe's. even like newspaper, you know, it doesn't really matter what it is. It just needs to be something that is safe, as safe as you can get it to be. Preferably no dyes or organic, and can break down into the soil, because that is going to loosen your soil, is going to draw worms to your soil. I mean, it's going to help you create the loamy soil that you need. Just the rich, you know, the rich, I don't even know how to describe it. Your soil needs to have a certain texture, a loamy texture. It needs to have a lot of organic matter in it. And putting down this thinner cardboard is a great way to stop weeds from coming up. And also, it's just that perfect bottom layer that you can stack on. So you're going to be looking for leaves. A couple weeks ago was like the last leaf collection, and I don't have leaves. So I went and took leaves off of curbs. Nobody cares. If you want to ask, then ask. But that's what I did. I went and filled the back of my SUV with leaves that other people raked and put them in my backyard. And also, you know, because it's been really dry, I watered over the leaves and the cardboard in my backyard. It seems outrageous, but that's what I did. Actually, backing up a little bit, the first layer that I put down was coffee grounds. Starbucks will, at least in my area, they have in the past, and not necessarily now, but Starbucks will give you their spent grounds. And they're normally a fairly neutral pH after being used. There is a little bit of nitrogen, usable nitrogen in them, but nothing that would really put the soil over the top. But more than anything, you're wanting, once again, that organic matter that coffee grounds brings. Soil, especially like a dense soil or a clay soil, really sticks together, which prevents, you know, the roots from, you know, spreading and growing the way that they need to. And so you're going to be adding things to that soil to break it up and, you know, make it so that it is, you know, just the right texture and, you know, in your hands. Which, you know, I'm over here like gesturing as though you guys can see me. But you will over time be able to pick up on what soil works for you. So I had 6 giant trash bags full of coffee grounds, coffee pucks from Starbucks. Put them down. You know, some people say it's going to burn your beds. I've never once had it burn my beds. And especially putting it down in the fall and in the winter, you know, you're doing prep for next year. So it's fine. There is a little bit of conflict with this, by the way, because if you had a garden last year, it's important to leave the plants alone as much as you can, because insects are overwintering in those plants. So when you go out to do this garden prep, do it as carefully as possible. You know, it's okay to pull those plants, but don't take them out of your yard. Don't throw them out. You know, put them in a corner of the yard where they, you know, hopefully those lightning bugs and bumblebees and whatever else, you know, will be happily waiting for spring and, you know, be a wonderful part of your garden, except for the squash bugs. They can all die. I hate them. Gugh. I saw several squash vine borers and I was able to catch them. Those things are just awful. Why do we have them? I don't know. Anyway, getting back to it. The one thing that I beg of you to not, if you only hear one thing that I have to say, please let it be, do not use peat moss. Do not use peat moss. Peat moss is considered a non-renewable resource because of the fact that peat bogs take hundreds of years to grow. Peat bogs hold more carbon emissions, more carbon dioxide than the Brazilian rainforest. Every time they go and harvest a peat bog for, soil mixtures, it releases an incredible amount of just yuck into the atmosphere because these peat bogs are, they clean the air. The peat bogs are so important to the environment. And as a gardener, the environment should be very important to you. I mean, you're working with nature and not against it. So please, no peat. You can use coconut core instead. That's a great soil amendment that you can put in there to get the right density, for their soil. Perlite is also another choice. It's not something that I've ever really used. I like to stay away from sand, although I do know some people have had a lot of luck with sand. Sand can be good if you're trying to weigh something down, like if you're turning your lawn, your grass lawn, over to clover, which I highly recommend, 10 on 10 would recommend, mixing those clover seeds with sand is really helpful for sowing them. But for the most, leaves, grass clippings, preferably ones that don't have chemical pesticides, herbicides on them, coffee grounds, eggshells, eggshells are fantastic. You can save eggshells all winter long and have enough to put a thin layer down in your beds. Gosh, you could even have enough to put them down in February. You don't have to go out and build these beds and start working on the soil all at once, like right now today. You have time between now and April, even May, depending, to amend the soil and add things to it to help it, so that come springtime, you're going to have good soil. Now, for me, like I said, I did the coffee grounds, thin cardboard, leaves, grass clippings, and straw. I know some people are anti-straw. I do not know why. Straw is an amazing gardening helper. I mean, if the only thing you use to amend your soil is straw, then fine, just use straw. Straw will break down, and it really, once again, brings those earthworms to the surface, and those earthworms really break up that soil so that it just has just the right texture for, the ideal growing conditions so that your plants can be taller than the 2 to 3 feet tall my tomatoes were. Worm castings, I think that's what it said properly. It's another great amendment that you can do. But when you get a fairly sunny day, go out and add a layer to your proposed garden area. But that's why it's so important. You at least have to have some notion of what your gardening goal is for 2024. How many people you intend to feed? What, are you making salsa? Are you making tomato sauce? Are you trying to feed a family of four for a full year? Because that's a very different animal. Is this just for fun? Is this just a supplement? Are we, teaching our kids to garden? You really need to know what it is that you're thinking about doing. Keep in mind, you can still just wing it and plant most of it in June. I'm not going to lie to you. You can. But ideally, putting it down to have a good idea of what your goal is, what you want to do, how many plants you're going to need, then getting outside and thinking, okay, I'm going to do beds that are 3 to 4 feet wide and 10 feet long. 10 feet long to me, those are pretty much the ideal measurements to me, because you don't want to have to walk, 12 feet. It's an extra 2 feet, but it It feels like a lot. And 3 feet wide, I'm 6 foot tall and I can reach, 3 feet from one side of the bed to the other comfortably. And I think a smaller, shorter person would be able to as well. It seems to be 3 to 4 feet is about the widest that you want, but you need to have some idea of where these beds are going to be so that you can get started with gathering up your supplies. Like I said, coconut core, perlite, coffee grounds, eggshells. I don't really do banana peels, but I know some people do. The grass clippings. And in some cases, like we are in a drought here in Nebraska, so on warmer days, I actually go out there and water because you need the snow or rain to break down these leaves and grass clippings and cardboard into the soil that you need. I top everything off with straw, and some people call them lasagna beds. You could Google lasagna beds. That's, definitely a good thing to do. But just get out there, get to thinking about it, get to planning, think about your goals. Dream big and then bring it back into reality. This is also the time to think about, do I want to try trellis gardening? Am I interested in that at all? Getting on Facebook Marketplace, getting on to your buy sell trades. There are websites and groups for that, give away things for free. I have found most of my gardening, like fencing and trellising supplies, for free or very cheap on the buy sell trade. So they'll be like, we'll put it out on the curb. Come get it. We don't want it anymore. T-posts, start looking for, if you're going to trellis garden, start looking for T-posts. 2x2x8s are a good thing. T-posts can be kind of expensive. If you can get secondhand ones, that's great. 6 to 8 feet are ideal. You can make 4 feet happen just depending on what you're trying to grow. But you need to get out there and start sourcing these materials based, on what that gardening goal is. It all comes down to what that gardening goal is, looking at your space, taking a look at your soil, sending off a soil sample, which we'll get into in another episode. And then on cold days and gray days, putting pencil to paper and start plotting everything out. Take a look at your budget. You're going to want to invest in good soil. My favorite here in Omaha is Hillside Solutions. Amazing. I don't just buy the soil. I buy their compost. It is amazing. They collect poo from the zoo, lunches from schools, lunches from businesses, coffee grounds, which, come on, guys, you've made my coffee grounds harder for me to get. Not fair. You can also, that's an amazing choice. But start saving up for that soil, because for a good soil, you're probably going to be looking at $50 a cubic yard. And you're also going to need to get out there and do that garden math. I can do garden math and I can do sale math. I'm pretty good at math when I need it. But I know I have just unloaded, a ton of information on you guys. And I will give more details in upcoming episodes to help get you going. I really appreciate you guys listening. Please share this with your friends. Follow me on Instagram to see some of my past gardens and canning, all sorts of things I've got going on there. So I appreciate you guys listening. This is Java and Genuflections Bicycle.